Sunlight crests the Earth's surface. As rays of light shoot up from the continents, the planet spins into view with a word across it. Universal. A web address appears, www.universalstudios.com.
Hey, Jace, you awake?
Titles appear over a view of a boy's messy room. Universal Pictures presents, in association with Media Stream Film.
Jason!
A boy wakes.
Jason, you awake?
Yeah, Dad, it's been a 4 hour. Just getting dressed.
Big Fat Liar. As he comes out into the hall, a man gets dressed in a nearby room.
Let's finish that paper for English class?
Yeah, Dad, did it last night.
Jace, did you eat your oatmeal?
Yeah, thanks, Mom. It was delicious.
Here, go, Chip.
Jason Shepherd, a young teen with a skateboard, puts his breakfast on the floor for the dog. Later, Jason skates along a sidewalk. An older teen with two friends trips him. Two of the boys snicker. The group's leader, Brett, silences his friends with a gesture.
Nice board, Shepard.
Brett, I would love to hang around and be physically and emotionally abused by you guys, but I should probably get to school.
Brett shoves him.
Ow. See, I had a feeling you were an excellent bully, and I was right. Take it easy.
Brett yanks Jason back by his backpack.
Give me the skateboard.
You sure? Because now you're going from harmless bully to hardened board jacker. I don't think you want to do that, do you?
Brett eyes one of his friends. Jason smiles. Now boardless, he sprints towards the school's entrance. A bespectacled woman sternly shuts the doors on him. Later, in a classroom.
Now I assume everyone has completed their creative writing assignments. I don't want to hear excuses.
A girl, Kaylee, receives a text from Jason. Look outside. Help. Create a distraction.
You, Josh, go.
Jason's trying to climb in the window. He pleads with Kaylee, who begrudgingly raises her hand.
Sorry. Miss Caldwell?
Yes, Kaylee.
Can you open the door? It's kind of toasty in here.
I suppose so.
As Miss Caldwell goes to the door, Jason clambers in and falls. Miss Caldwell turns.
Jason Shepard. Did you just come in from that window?
No, you looked a little flushed. I was just creating a cross draft.
Well, now that we're all comfortable, why don't you read us your story?
You know what? Let's give someone else a chance.
No, I think we'd all like to hear yours. You did do it, didn't you?
Jason glances down thoughtfully.
Miss Caldwell, can I call you Phyllis?
No.
Understood. But as much as I wanted to write my paper, I mean, I really, really wanted to write my paper, I couldn't. And it's because I spent all last night in the Greenbury General Emergency Room.
Miss Caldwell lifts her brow.
See, my mom made Swedish meatballs for dinner. It's my dad's favorite. And he was so excited, he accidentally swallowed one whole. It was awful. He started choking, his face turned purple, the meatball was literally bulging out of his neck. We rushed him to the ER. I kept trying to write my paper in the waiting room, but it was too hard. I needed to be by my father's side. After all, he's the only dad I got.
Kaylee rolls her eyes.
You are lying through your teeth, you little demon.
I wish I were, Phyllis. Call my dad if you want. His number is 555-0147.
I think I will.
Miss Caldwell goes.
Crazy? You're totally gonna get busted.
Say Harry Shepherd's office.
No way. Don't drag me into this.
Come on, help me out. What am I supposed to do?
How about write the paper?
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No. Harry Shepherd's office. One moment, please.
Hello. Oh, hello. Miss Caldwell. Yes, it's true. It was terrifying. I started to see the white light. I was just about to cross over to the other side when I heard the voice of an angel calling out. And when I opened my eyes, I saw my sweet, sweet Jason standing over me. And I said, back off, Grim Reaper. I ain't done living yet. And with every ounce of gas I had left in my body, I burped that meatball right across the room. And I owe it all to my son. I'm sorry, Miss Caldwell. I should stop talking now. My throat is still very sore. Thank you.
He ends the call.
Jason?
Miss Caldwell hurries back in.
I am so sorry. You just take your time handing in that assignment. Thank you. Now back to those creative essays. Charlie, go.
Jason grins. Later, he and Kaylee walk down a hallway. Miss Caldwell steps out close by.
Oh, Jason, just who I was looking for. I need to see you in here.
You know, I would love to hang out and chat with you, Missy, but I've got to get home and help take care of my daddy.
Oh, really?
She turns coolly. Jason cranes his neck to look in Miss Caldwell's classroom. He finds his parents standing inside with scolding looks. Later.
How can you lie to us, Jace? You told me you wrote that paper.
I don't know. Unfortunately, that essay counts for one-third of Jason's semester grade. Without it, he's gonna fail the class. He'll have to repeat the course in summer school.
What? I can't go to summer school?
There must be something he can do to make this up.
I'm teaching English as a second language at the community college until 6. If you can get me the paper by then, I'll consider counting it. And don't even think about downloading something from the net, Jason. I want that essay handwritten.
1,000-word story in 3 hours?
That should be no problem, since making up stories seems to be your God-given talent.
Jason looks at his father, who is unflinching. The boy stares off dejectedly. At home, Jason taps a pen anxiously on an open notebook and shifts his gaze. So far, he's written, Untitled, by Jason Shepherd.
Making up stories seems to be your God-given talent.
A smile forms on his face.
Big.
He begins to write a large title.
Fat. Kenny Trooper was the world's biggest liar. They say a little lie can grow bigger and bigger. One man will pay the price. People everywhere stopped and stared at the big, fat liar. Yes!
Why do you have to steal my skateboard today?
A digital clock across the room reads 5:45. Now, Jason frantically rides a girl's bicycle, license plate Janie, down a tree-lined road.
Nice wheel, Shepard!
Jason flies into the side of a white limo.
Sir, I think we just hit a kid.
I'm on the phone.
Sorry about that. Apparently we ran over a kid or something.
The driver gets out and helps Jason up.
You all right there, buddy?
Yeah. But you gotta help me out. I have to get to the community college in 2 minutes. I'm gonna fail out of 8th grade.
What's going on here?
I need a ride.
What am I, running a taxi service?
It's right down the road. You're lucky I don't sue you for whiplash. Actually, my neck does feel pretty stiff.
Get in the car.
As Jason gets in the limo, the contents of his open bag spill out on the floor.
Watch the shoes, watch the shoes.
Man, if you only knew the kind of day I've had.
Yeah. It must be really, really tough to be 11.
I'm actually 14.
Oh, my mistake.
Jason hastily stuffs papers back in his bag.
Jason Shepherd.
Marty Wolf.
Wolf shakes his hand with a cool smile. Looking off, they both cross their legs.
Famous Hollywood producer?
Jason shrugs.
I'm in town shooting my new picture.
Oh, yeah, you're that guy. Dude, no offense, but you have made some stinkers in the last few years.
Yeah, well, everyone has a dry spell, Ebert.
It's Jason.
Trust me, all it takes is one hit to get you back on top.
Yeah, that's what I'm counting on with this story I'm handing in.
Oh, really? Why don't you tell me more about that?
I tried to get out of it, but my teacher busted me.
What'd you go with? Dog get your homework?
No, Dad choked on a meatball.
You spent all night with him in the ER?
Yeah.
The teacher called the old man to confirm. You imitated his voice on the cell phone?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, listen and learn, short stack. Here's where you went wrong, okay? You should have forged the doctor's note, made your dad your sister, and changed the meatball into a chicken wing. It's much easier to swallow if you GMD, which means get my drift.
Wow, you're good.
No, I'm the best.
Here we are.
All right, God bless you there, Jared.
It's Jason.
Man, it always will be. Now, you keep practicing those lies, Jiminy. Because you can take it from me, the truth, it's overrated. Now get out! I got a movie to produce!
Jason gets out.
Thanks for the ride, gentlemen.
Ciao.
Wolf looks down.
Hey, whoa, you left?
Wolf picks up Jason's assignment, Big Fat Liar, and starts reading. One of his eyebrows arches.
Back to the set, sir?
Yeah, and double time it, Private.
Now, in a police car, a man in uniform faces a similarly dressed chicken.
Listen, Whitaker. I'm not your sister, I'm not your girlfriend, and I'm not your priest. So if you want to remain my partner, I've got two words for you. Shut the heck up! You talk way too much! Okay, can we cut? Because this ain't working for me at all.
What do you think you're doing?
Oh my God, you gave me in here something?
Wolf storms over.
Why did you call cut? I did not tell you to stop acting, Urkel.
Wolf, how many times have I told you not to call me Urkel? My name is Jaleel White, okay? Yeah. Urkel was a character I played when I was a child.
Okay, Jaleel. Hey, what's the problem, huh?
You want another problem? Mm. Want another problem?
Yeah.
I'm getting nothing from the chicken. That's the problem, okay? He just sits there with his head all slumped over. I have absolutely no idea what my motivation is. Mm.
Okay, well, you're a police officer named Fowl. Mm-hmm. Your new partner is a crime-fighting chicken named Whitaker. And your motivation is a nice fat paycheck that's keeping you out of working the drive-thru window at McDonald's.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Watch yourself, Wolf. Watch yourself.
No, you watch yourself, pal. You're just lucky I'm not making you wear the freaky glasses and suspenders.
I swear, I was riding down the street on Janie's old bike, and some limo hit me. They offered me a ride, and when I got in, I spilled all my stuff. I must have forgotten to take the paper.
Give us one reason why we should believe you.
Because it's true. There was some guy in the back of the limo. Marty something. Maybe he took it.
What are our options?
Without the essay? Summer school? Or summer school?
Now, a word appears beneath the school entrance. Summer.
Today, students, we are going to learn about the joys of a special friend I like to call Mr. Semicolon.
In a dingy classroom.
The semicolon was first used in a 1734.
To Jason's left, a misfit with a mop of frizzy orange hair is hiding a ferret.
Jedediah Wilkinson.
To Jason's right, Brett snoozes. Jason leans his head back miserably. Now, at a movie theater.
Come on, Jason. You must have made at least one friend.
Yeah. Come to think of it, the kid behind me who kept flicking his boogers at the back of my neck. He seemed like a really nice guy. You shouldn't even be in that stupid summer school.
If it makes you feel any better, my parents are taking an adventure. They're going on a river rafting trip in the Grand Canyon. But do I get an adventure? No. My big adventure is staying over at my Grandma Pearl's with her toe fungus.
Well, you can hang it at my place. My folks are taking a long weekend at some health spa for their anniversary. It'll just be me and Jamie from Thursday till Sunday.
Taking their seats, Jason and Kaylee watch a trailer.
In a time when a little lie can grow bigger and bigger, one man will pay the price.
Jason cocks his head.
Next summer, people everywhere will stop and stare. Marty Wolf Pictures presents...
A giant foot steps on a car.
Kenny Trooper... Big, fat liar.
Jason stares wide-eyed and slack-jawed.
What do you think? Want to see it?
See it? I think I wrote it.
At home.
Not that again, Jason.
I'm telling you.
BFL. Looks like the human hit factory
this
is about to do it again. Big Fat Liar is already being touted as next summer's must-see movie event. I recently sat down with Marty Wolf, the mastermind behind this. Sure to be.
That's him. That's the guy from the limo.
How'd you come up with this idea?
Some ideas you struggle and struggle with, but the great ones, well, I mean, they just come to you.
Yeah, from my backpack, you loser!
Jason.
Dad, I'm serious. That guy stole my paper. You have to believe me.
Jason's parents frown at him. His father shakes his head sadly.
I can't. I just don't trust you right now, Jace.
Jason shuts his eyes heavily. Daytime, his parents approach a taxi.
Have a nice weekend, kids.
We will. See you on Sunday. Have fun.
Look out for your brother, Janie.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye.
We'll miss you guys.
The taxi pulls away. A couple of years older than Jason, Janie starts filing her nails. A young man wearing a baseball cap backwards pulls up to the curb in an SUV. Janie smiles.
Later. I'm going over to Rudy's.
Rudy?
Yo, what's up, dog?
Jason waves.
How you living, yo?
Rudy slaps his hand and hugs him.
What's crackin', kid? Peace out, little G.
Rudy kisses two fingers and shoots a peace sign at Jason, who returns the gesture bemusedly. Rudy and Janie get in the SUV.
Booyah!
Jason shifts his troubled gaze. Now Kaylee tutors Brett.
He's not literally a catcher eating rye bread. It's more of a metaphor for a state of adolescent angst.
Jason arrives and runs in.
We need to talk.
I'm tutoring.
Bet you wish you still had your skateboard, huh, Shepard?
Let's see. Fully developed brain, skateboard. I think I'll take the brain.
But I have your skateboard.
Kaylee, pack your bags. We're going on a trip.
Later.
I can't just go to Los Angeles.
And I can't go through my life having my parents think I'm a liar.
But you are a liar.
In general, that's true. But this time, I'm telling the truth. I wrote that paper, Kaylee, and I'm not gonna rest until Wolf admits he stole it and my parents know it.
What are we supposed to do? Walk across the country?
3 years of yard work and babysitting money. Our flight leaves in 2 hours.
What about my grandma Pearl? I'm staying at her house while my parents are away.
That woman doesn't even know what year it is. You said you wanted an adventure. We'll go to LA, I'll get my paper, and we'll be back before the long weekend is over.
But my grandma will notice if I don't even show up at all.
Hey, Kaylee, you got a plunger? I took a dookie and I clogged up the toilet. Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Jason and Kaylee share a look, and Jason grins. Later, Brett wears a lavender outfit.
This is never gonna work. She's not that blind and senile.
Oh, it'll work.
If any of my teammates see me, Shepard, you're dead.
Hey, we made a deal. You want us to do your summer school homework or not?
Yeah, it's just a...
It's only a few days. And remember, you have to make your voice sound like a girl's.
Kaylee adjusts Brett's pastel hoodie.
Come on, big fella.
They run up to a front door, Brett adjusting his skirt. Jason knocks, then runs back over to Kaylee.
Who's there? I've got a gun.
It's just Kaylee, Grandma.
Kaylee? You can't be Kaylee. You grown so tall, and you're so muscular.
I'm benching like 220, 230.
Oh, good for you. So give me a hug.
Grandma Pearl and Brett hug.
Come on.
Jason and Kaylee hurry off. Now, a large passenger jet lands on a tarmac beneath an overcast sky. Jason and Kaylee enter a large airport terminal. A sign reads, "Welcome to Los Angeles." A few yards ahead, a driver in a suit waves a small sign with a name on it. Jason glances at Kaylee.
Follow my lead.
Okay.
The sign reads, "Stroog." Jason smiles.
Hi, I'm Mr. Stroog.
You serious?
Is there a problem?
No. Just you're kind of young to be the biggest fur coat distributor of the Midwest, you know?
It's a family business. I've been selling pelts since I was a baby.
Okay.
Kaylee lifts her brow.
I'm Frank.
Frank, we want to get some sightseeing in before we start covering this town in fur.
Okay.
So this here is a little place I like to call Los Angeles.
Nearby, Stroog, wearing a thick fur and clutching an alligator skin satchel, looks around with a puzzled frown. Later, a stretch limo travels a posh street. Jason and Kaylee stand up through the sunroof and look around with delighted grins. Palm trees tower on either side of them. The kids mimic parade waves. Now, a fountain bears a wireframe sculpture of the Universal Globe. The limo pulls up nearby as tourists pose for photos. Frank hops out and opens the door for his young passengers.
Thanks for the lift, Frank. We'll take it from here.
You got it, Mr. Stroog. Look, here's my card. If you need a ride, give me a shout out.
Thanks.
Now, an open-air tour shuttle.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ron, your driver, and I am Arthur, your tour guide.
So, what's the plan?
When we get to Wolf's building, we jump off, infiltrate his office,
Make him admit he stole my story.
That's it? That's the lamest plan I've ever heard.
Trust me, it's gonna work.
As they sit in the back of the shuttle, a gate lowers to shut them in.
Well, folks, this is the back lot where many of our movies are made. And speaking of movies, in just a few days, we're beginning filming next summer.
Come on, follow me.
They hop off. A tall security guard notices.
Excuse me, guard. Where's stage two?
Security, let's go.
As two workers wheel scenery by, Jason and Kaylee stow away out of view. The guard, in a blazer with a shiny badge, gives a puzzled frown, then shrugs. Jason and Kaylee march onto a bustling film set, wide-eyed. Kaylee yields an amazed smile. A man carries a giant baby bottle. The kids pass two women dressed as angels.
Can I take a moment to say, how totally awesome is this?
To one side, dancers dressed as cowgirls practice choreography. An animal wrangler feeds a giraffe. Kaylee points out gorilla characters with red fur and matching tutus. The young teens pass by actors dressed as astronauts. They admire a desert marketplace set, pausing and turning on the spot. They take off running excitedly in the direction of a large archway. In an office space.
Marty Wolf Pictures, please hold. Marty Wolf Pictures, please hold. Can I help you?
Oh, we're here to see Marty Wolf.
Do you have an appointment?
I ask you.
He eyes a nameplate.
Astrid, what kind of sick world is this? When children need an appointment to see their own father?
Mr. Wolf doesn't have children.
Not that he knows of. Shh. Look. This is going to be an emotional reunion for all of us. So once you let us in, you're probably going to want to hold Papa's calls as well.
Mr. Wolf doesn't see anyone without an appointment. Marty Wolf Pictures.
Scanning Astrid's desk,
no,
Jason sees some dog
away.
Figurines and car keys for a Saturn.
Oh, I'd love to take a message. You've got it.
He pulls Kaylee aside.
Well, if you'd slow down, then maybe
help me out.
They go to a small room stocked with a printer and reams pictures. Of paper. Jason hands Kaylee a wall-mounted phone's handset.
Operator.
Hi, Marty Wolf Pictures, please.
Astrid's playing with the dog.
Marty Wolf Pictures.
Astrid Barker, please.
Speaking.
Well, this is Doris Del Rio down in parking. Do you drive a Saturn, ma'am?
Yes.
Well, it's,
it's parked on the dock.
I'm not gonna say that.
Come on.
Hello?
Your car's parked on a dock.
Your car is parked on a dog.
My car is parked on a dog?
Yes, ma'am. In the tail area, to be more specific. It's gruesome, actually. Listen for yourself.
Kaylee holds the phone up to a whimpering Jason. Gagging, Astrid hurries out.
Hang on. Okay, I'm coming. Don't die. I'm coming. Oh, my God. Just stay. Keep breathing. Think of a happy place.
Jason and Kaylee sneak out.
Look out. I'm sure this thing will be over in just a few minutes.
Jason hurries up a flight of stairs. Kaylee sits down in Astrid's chair and dons her headset.
Marty Wolf Pictures. Can I take a message? Mr. Wolf is about to go into a meeting. Uh-huh. Sandler.
Mm. Upstairs.
We're not just looking for my personal organizer, Monty. That thing is my life. If you've lost it, then you've killed me. Simple as that. Draw a line of chalk around me, baby, because I am dead.
You know, I understand that.
No, you don't. You always say that. No, you don't.
Did you check your jacket pocket?
What do I look like, a moron?
No, it's just if you remember that one time.
Fine, Monty, fine. If it'll make you happy, I'll check my jacket pocket.
As he does, his smirk vanishes.
It's in there.
Petite and blonde, Monty smiles knowingly.
Hello? Excuse me? Hey, how's it going?
Who are you?
Jason Shepard. Remember me? I wrote Big Fat Liar.
Monty cocks her head at Wolf.
Monty, hold my calls. Give me a few minutes alone here with Mr., Shepard.
Monty goes, smiling politely at Jason on her way out. She rolls her eyes behind his back and shuts the door.
Well, 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 well. Jason Shepherd, the young man from Greenbury, Michigan. I must tell you, this is quite a surprise. What can I do for you, amigo?
I want you to call my dad and tell him you stole the story from me.
Call your dad? Why?
Because it's the truth and you're the only one he'll believe.
You traveled halfway across the country to get me to call your dad and tell him you did your homework?
You make that phone call, and you will never hear from me again.
Wolf purses his lips into a mocking pout as Jason waits with a smirk. Wolf slaps his desk.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
Wolf goes to a safe with keys.
It's a great piece of work, kid. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I refer back to it whenever I get in a bind on the script.
So you'll give it back to me and make the phone call?
Hey, you gave me my movie, Shepard. It's the very least I can do for you.
He slaps down Jason's assignment.
Smoke cigars, hotshot?
I'm 14, Wolf.
All right, suit yourself.
Wolf gets a large cigar for himself.
Jason Shepard of Greenbury, Michigan.
He strikes a match.
It was a pleasure doing business.
He drops the match on the pages.
Oh, no! What have I done? Oh, boy! Oh, stand back, son. Let me try and tamp that out with this lit cigar. I seem to be making matters worse.
Jason bats the burning pages into the trash.
Good move, Smokey!
Jason stamps at it.
Hold on. Help is on the way. Stand back!
Wolf grabs a bottle of liquor and pours it onto the flames, making a brief fireball.
Oh. You're sick, you know that? All I wanted you to do was call my dad and tell him I wrote that paper!
Or else what? You gonna shoot me with a spitball? Gonna give me a wedgie? Grow up, Shepard. This is Hollywood, baby. It's a dog-eat-dog town. Worse, we got cats eating cats. We got fish munching fish. We play by our own rules.
I am not leaving until you make that call.
Oh, I'll make a call, all right.
Malone speaking.
Rocco, this is the Wolf. Send a couple of your boys down here. I got a code W. Another angry writer refusing to leave. Wolf out.
Jason spots an electronic organizer as security arrives.
I tried to play fair, Wolf. But you asked for it!
Oh.
You asked for it! You don't know who you're messing with!
Come on.
Thanks for holding. Can you spell Soderbergh for me?
At reception, Kaylee fields a call.
Thanks, Steven. I'll have Mr. Wolf return. Marty Wolf Pictures...
No, you don't understand. Come on, let go. I'm telling you, it was my idea.
Oh, yeah, and I wrote The Nutty Professor. I heard it all before, Mr. Smart Guy.
Get off me.
Hi. Hey, Astrid. Adam Sandler called to set up a lunch. I sent some flowers to Meg Ryan because she sounded like she had a little cold. Oh, and I scheduled a deep body massage for you at 3. You look like you could use a little you time.
She boops Astrid's nose and leaves. Astrid stares after the young girl.
Thank you, kind stranger.
What can I say? This is Hollywood, Kaylee. It's a fish-eat-fish town.
Later.
They play by their own rules out here.
Does that mean we're going home?
Oh, we're going home. Just as soon as Wolf and Mitzi stole my story.
I'm not trying to be negative, but didn't we just find out that Wolf isn't going to admit the truth?
He'll do it.
How?
Because I have his life in the palm of my hand.
Great, so we're stealing now.
The organizer.
We're not stealing, we're borrowing. Look, I've got Wolf's alarm codes, credit card numbers, his schedule.
So?
So, this is awesome. Give me one day and I'll figure out a way to use all this info against him.
I don't know, Jace.
I can't go home until my dad knows the truth. If you saw the way he looked at me, it was like, I don't know. Like I wasn't his kid anymore.
Kaylee stares sympathetically at Jason, whose eyes glisten. She looks around thoughtfully.
Do you think your plan might include food and a place to sleep?
Jason spots the tall security guard.
The guard! Let's get out of here.
They run out of the desert-themed set. Jason taps Kaylee and points at a building.
Let's check out that warehouse.
A sign near the entrance reads, Wardrobe and Properties Departments. The kids share a smile and go in. The interior is dark and cluttered with random items. Jason throws a huge breaker switch. Lights come on, revealing a sprawling, colorful jungle of movie props and scenery.
Looks like we found our temporary home.
They walk further in, exploring the large space.
Look at all this stuff.
They pass by a Sasquatch suit, a life-size velociraptor puppet, and statues of ancient Egyptian warriors. An entire section of the wall is lit up in neon lights. They arrive in an open space with a putting green.
All right, Kay. We're gonna need clothes and supplies. Let's hunker down until the law dogs punch out and then start racking up the merch.
What are you talking about?
We'll stay here until closing time and then we go shopping.
Later, they move through a maze of fully stocked clothing racks, taking whatever they like. The party's just begun. Jason adjusts a giant glittery red bow tie. They ride a rolling clothing rack. Kaylee eyes the items with a grin. Kaylee models a variety of feminine ensembles and looks from classic films. Jason travels down an aisle on a scooter, a bicycle, and a skateboard. Later, he and Kaylee meet up, she in a pink coat and hat, he in a military-style red coat. Kaylee runs down an aisle in a leopard print coat. Jason runs the other way in a Napoleon-inspired hat and stops. She tosses off her mismatched hat, and he runs the other way. Later, Kaylee models a red dress. Jason tries on a sombrero and a heavily tasseled jacket. Kaylee models a series of hats. Kaylee flaunts a feather boa. Jason poses in a football helmet and fake muscles. In another section, they rock out on prop musical instruments. Now, Kaylee in a frilly red dress awakens to the sound of Jason bouncing a ball tethered to a ping pong paddle. Surrounded by empty cola cans, he uses a cell phone on a fake beach.
Jace?
I'm at the beach! Hey, Frank, Mr. Strug, Mitty's at the studio gate in 20.
Hey. What's with the Cokes?
The machine, it's rigged. They're free! They're free!
Later, Frank pulls up to them at a curb outside a security gate.
Good morning, Frank. Let's get moving. We've got furs to sell.
Yeah.
They get in. Frank turns to them.
Fur coat, king of the Midwest, my butt. I got some R-rated dialogue for you, but I'm gonna keep it PG. You owe me $100 for yesterday's ride.
Well, maybe
you almost cost me my job.
Frank, I'm sorry. I can explain.
You hear that? I don't want to hear it, okay?
I know. I just think that...
If you listen... I'm sorry. It's just that we came out here to get even with this guy, Marty Wolf, because he stole my story and he's making it into this big movie.
Did you just say Marty Wolf?
Yeah, you know him.
Know him? I used to drive him. He fired me last year.
Why?
I'm an actor, see?
He shows his headshot.
Right? And I made the mistake of asking him if I could audition for one of his movies. He could have said no and not let me audition, right? But instead, he takes my headshot, writes loser across my forehead, and then faxes it to every casting director in town.
You poor thing.
If you guys want to mess with Wolf, I got your back.
Today, we get to know the enemy.
Tex types out over rolling water. Phase one, the surveillance. Wolf does the backstroke in a swanky mansion backyard pool. Jason and Kaylee spy on him from behind a lounge chair. Jason checks Wolf's organizer. 7 a.m., swim 25 laps, home.
Right on schedule.
A meeting.
Okay, people, we begin production in 2 days. Dusty, El Director, first up's a big stunt. I want to start this shoot off with a bang. I want to bomb away right out of the gate. Hit Nikita.
Rock and roll, baby. I am ready to partay.
Go.
Okay. Harumph. We open. 12 different camera angles. Smoke ascending from the streets of the city. Castang! Birds descending from the heavens like winged messengers from above, beckoning.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Confucius say easy does it, Skippy. I can barely afford one camera, let alone 12, and you can forget about the birds, too.
Monty, talk to me about the budget.
We're $2 million over, and the studio hasn't approved the new budget.
Well, when are they supposed to do that?
Tomorrow morning, you have a breakfast meeting at Marcus Duncan's house.
Oh, I have a breakfast meeting at Marcus Duncan's house. You can tell our little vice president he can drag his sorry butt over to my place if he wants to have a little sit-down chinwag with the Wolfman.
Actually, sir, He's not the VP anymore. He's the president.
Monty shows a trade paper. Its headline reads, Studio slams Duncan to Prez Post.
I see. Well, get his address then. We don't want to be late now, do we?
Next!
Later, another meeting.
For a big movie, you need a big stunt. And for a big stunt, you need serious media coverage. I'm talking TV, print, that internet crap, everything. Now, who's handling that?
I am. Jocelyn Davis, Senior VP of Publicity.
Yeah? Sure you're not Senior VP of Twinkies?
The plump executive lifts her brow.
Oh, funny.
Monty stops eating a donut.
I'll make sure the shoot is well covered.
Terrific! Okay, people, meeting's over. What's next, Monty?
Now, a stuntman flies out of a high window. He lands on a specialized inflated pad.
Cool. 12:30, stunt demonstration.
What do you think, Marty? Nice, huh?
That's just, it's perfect. What do you think, Dusty?
Bam! Loved it.
Yeah, but you know, actually, I think I liked it better the first time I saw it. In 1942, you dinosaur! Vince, meet my new effects whiz, Lester Golub.
Pleasure to meet you.
Lester is going to design the stunt on his iBook, and your stunt guy's going to do whatever the computer tells him to do.
Well, I don't need a computer to show me how to do my job.
Geek boy, ignore Father Time over here and get working. From the looks of you, I'm sure that you don't have a social life, so you two will get together tomorrow to finalize the details. Play nice.
I'm off tomorrow. I'm taking a personal day.
What was that? Personal day? What are you talking about, Vince? What's a personal day?
I'm taking my granddaughter to a birthday party.
He shows an invitation.
Oh, may I?
Sure.
Oh, that is great. Would you like the clown with the crazy hair? Oh, man, with the
He tears the invite.
Oh, man, that's fun. See, this is the movie business, Grandpa. The talkies, you know? You can take your personal day in a year or two when you're dead.
Wolf throws the scraps at Vince and goes. Vince glares. Later, in prop storage.
Well, today we learn we're officially dealing with the meanest man alive. All right, color dye.
Check.
Mega glue.
Check.
Kaylee stops, facing a shriveled alien doll.
Oh my God. Grandma Pearl. Brett must be in a living hell right now.
Pearl holds Brett's feet as he does sit-ups off a love seat.
How many more, Kaylee?
50. I got your rib, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Feel no burn. Yeah. Because I'm the best, baby. I'm the best.
Yeah. You know, Grandma, you should think about getting into shape yourself.
Now she does curls with yarn.
Grandma, what? Oh, Grandma. One more, Grandma. It's all you. I ain't helping.
Yeah. Now, Jason's dad makes a phone call. A phone rings in Jason's room. Playing pinball in his hideout, Jason eyes his cell phone while Kaylee jumps around on a Velcro playset.
Hello?
Hey, Jace.
Hey, Dad.
Just called to see how you were doing.
I'm doing good, you know, staying out of trouble.
What's that noise?
Oh, I'm just doing this experiment for science class. It's this thing with ball bearings and bells.
Sounds good. Anyway, I just wanted to check in because you looked pretty upset when we left.
Yeah. Well, about that, Dad. I just want you to know, I totally get what you said about the whole trust thing. And I think when you get back, you'll see that I've been trying really hard to earn it.
Glad to hear it, pal.
Good night, Dad.
Night.
Call for it and gotta love it.
You really think this is gonna work?
One day, that's all it's gonna take. Wolf's not gonna know what hit him.
Jace? A little help here.
Kaylee finds herself stuck to the playset. Jason runs over.
What about your parents? Think they'll call?
They're in the middle of a canyon. There's no phones where they are.
Hey, thanks for coming out here with me.
I came for the adventure, remember?
Right. Anyway, we should get some sleep. Tomorrow we launch phase two.
Jason pulls Kaylee free and they fall. Phase two, the takedown. Jason and Kaylee leave the limo and don sunglasses. The two kids face each other and nod. In his home, a reclining wolf removes a chilled eye mask.
It's showtime, Mr. Funny Bones.
He looks over at a soft toy monkey with a creepy plastic face.
You cute little monkey, you.
He jabs it in the face a few times.
Look out!
He mimics martial arts moves with one hand.
Cut it out, Marty! Hey, that kills, Marty!
You.
He rolls out of bed. Out back, Jason and Kaylee kneel down by the pool. Jason pulls out a big bottle of blue dye labeled Industrial Strength. He unscrews the lid and empties the bottle into the water. As Wolf comes out in tight little trunks with a towel around his shoulders, Jason and Kaylee watch from hiding.
Hungry!
Wolf hits a button on a wall and dances his way down some steps to his pool patio. Jason and Kaylee watch mirthfully. Wolf pauses, dancing with dramatic, jerky movements. Jason and Kaylee sneak inside the vast house. Wolf sweeps his arms up, brings his palms together, and dives in the pool. Jason puts super glue on Wolf's hands-free earpiece.
Mr. Earpiece, meet Miss Mayor Glue.
He finishes applying the glue and replaces the earpiece by Wolf's cell phone. Outside, Wolf emerges from the water, his skin now a bright blue. He smiles obliviously. Inside, Kaylee shows Jason two bottles on a tub reading Luscious Locks. They squeeze orange dye into one of the bottles. Wolf comes inside. Wolf makes his way upstairs, growling like a tiger at the top. Kaylee and Jason hide.
Hello, let's dance, funny bones!
They quickly run downstairs as Wolf dances with Mr. Funny Bones, his back to them. In the shower, eyes shut, Wolf applies the now orange shampoo. Wolf also shampoos his eyebrows and mustache-less goatee. Opening his eyes, he notices his blue hands and the orange goop on them. He wipes steam off of a mirror and finds himself bright blue all over, his hair tinted orange. Out front, Frank's limo screeches away. Now, Monty works at a desk.
Good morning, Marty Wolf Pictures. This is Monty.
Monty! Charisma from Marcus Duncan's office. I'm temping for a second assistant. I am so psyched you're there, Cookie. Okay, so I was watching Charmed on the WB last night, and just as Alyssa Milano was about to put a spell on her cute demon boyfriend, I had the biggest panic attack that I forgot to give you Duncan's new address.
Really? I didn't know he moved. That was quick.
Oh, yeah, in a big way. He bought, like, the sickest pad in the 90210. We're talking Mondo Box. Anywho, tell Mr. Wolf that Duncan lives at 867 North Maple Drive.
All right, thanks. Got it.
Kaylee reads the address from the torn invitation. Now Wolf touches his earpiece.
What?
It's Monty. Glad I caught you. Duncan moved.
You're going to have to cancel the meeting and get one of the makeup chicks to meet me at the office. This is an emergency.
No, you cannot cancel the meeting. If Duncan doesn't approve the new budget, we can't start shooting tomorrow.
I don't think you understand, Monty. I'm blue.
Oh, come on. Now, we all have our off days.
No, I mean, I'm literally. And I've got orange.
Come on, Wolfman.
Okay, forget it. Forget it. Give me his address, I'll figure something out.
867 North Maple.
Copy that.
He starts a convertible.
Did you come up with an ending for the script yet?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm headed across the lot right now to do some research, but I could use a little help, Marty.
Monty, I am writing and producing a major motion picture. I don't have time to work on the script. That's your job. Now, stop wasting time and get to work. I'm 24 hours away from the most important shoot of my career. Wolf out! Oh.
He tries to pull out his earpiece and yanks himself against the window. He nearly crashes.
That glass is Grandma!
Up yours, blue boy!
Tugging at his earpiece again, he grimaces. Now, Wolf enters the driveway of an impressive L.A. mansion. He gets out wearing a pink and purple suit that accentuates his blue skin and orange hair. He eyes his hand and climbs the front steps, baring his teeth in an angry grimace. He knocks.
Yeah, I'm,
Sí, sí, te están esperando.
Uh-huh.
The maid calmly gestures for him to enter. As he does, the limo pulls up behind him. Jason, Kaylee, and Frank exit the limo and swagger in slow motion across the grass to Wolf's cobalt blue convertible.
Got the alarm codes?
I'm all over it.
Inside. Subtitles. I should warn you, he likes to play a little rough.
You know, rough.
Rough. Sister, I invented the word rough. Duncan will be eating sugar cubes out of my hand by the time I'm finished with him.
I don't know what you're saying.
Right.
Wolf proceeds alone through double doors and finds himself facing a kid's party.
It's the clown! Let's turn up!
The boy flies at Wolf.
Excuse me, sir.
The boy tackles him. More kids rush over and dogpile him.
My powerful Hollywood producer!
At Wolf's car, Jason and Kaylee rip out wires.
What the heck am I doing here? Oh, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch, don't.
In the house.
Ah, you kids are all gonna be hearing from my lawyer!
The last get away!
Get off of me! You wanna dance, kid? Let's dance! You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me?
You're going down, clown! You're going down!
Come on, bring it! I'm Marty Wolf! Do you have any idea who I am?
He stands, but they attack from all sides.
Hey! Heads up, clown!
The first boy leaps at Wolf from the second floor landing. Outside, a real clown arrives.
You're not even funny, clown!
Wolf comes out, glares at the blue-skinned, orange-wigged clown, and makes a phone call.
Hello?
Monty, where the hell did you send me? Because it sure wasn't Duncan's house!
Well, how was I supposed to know?
Don't speak, just listen. Whatever you do, you gotta get me in there with Duncan!
I'll just reschedule the meeting, Marty! Jeez!
Okay, that's all you had to say. Adios, sugar pop!
Monty scowls at her cell phone. In transit, Wolf's convertible slows.
Ho, ho, ho! What the...
Wolf takes his foot off the brake, then taps it a couple of times. He flips his turn signal. He presses the radio button and the wipers activate. As he frantically presses dashboard buttons, the trunk hatch bobs up and down. The limo pulls up and Jason lowers his window.
Hey, Marty, I like your new coloring. It works for you.
You did this?
Yep, and it can end any time. All I have to do is make one phone call to my dad. Shouldn't be much of a problem since that headset is super glued to your ear.
He throws Wolf a slip of paper.
Here's my dad's number.
Kaylee leans into view with a car owner's manual.
Hiya. Bye-bye.
As they ride off, Wolf stares after them.
Rot, kids!
Wolf strikes the dashboard of his rewired car and stomps on the brake pedals childishly. Later, Wolf turns onto a suburban street. His wiper fluid pulsates hard. Approaching a monster truck at a stop sign, he reluctantly applies the brakes. As the driver looks out, the car stops inches from the monster truck's tire. The old lady bumps him from behind. The force knocks Wolf's car forward enough to jostle the truck's tires. Its young, burly driver climbs out. He checks his enormous back tire and fumes as Wolf gets out.
Oh my God! I want to kill you!
No, take it easy, man. It wasn't my fault. The old bag rear-ended me.
Eat my bloomies, blue boy!
Oh, that's very nice. That's really charming from a woman of your advanced years. Have a nice day! It was just a tire.
You don't pay for this!
Wolf reads the side of the truck.
All right, listen, Masher, I'm sure we can come to some kind of voluntary arrangement. Yes?
Yeah, that's what I thought, tough guy!
The truck pulls off, does a 180, and comes to a stop facing him. The masher surges directly toward Wolf.
Come on.
No, dude.
No. Back off, man! No way!
It looms over Wolf and his tiny convertible. Now a well-dressed man sits in an office.
Two meetings in a row, Monty. This is not the way to get on the new president's good side.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sure there must be some explanation.
A tow truck hauls Wolf's mangled car away.
They told me to pick up a little blue car.
Wolf rides with him.
They didn't say anything about a little blue man.
Go for Wolf.
Where are you? I am at Duncan's office right now.
I'm not gonna make it. Tell him it's your fault and reschedule.
I am not gonna lie to the new president of the studio, Marty.
Don't get all high and mighty on me, Monty, because if I go down, you're riding shotgun, Tootsie Roll. Now make something up, and I'll smooth things over with him at the premiere.
Fine.
Wolf out!
A red carpet event.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Pat O'Brien, and welcome to Tinseltown. Well, here we are again, this time at the world premiere of producer Marty Wolf's action comedy, Whitaker and Fowl.
So this must be a very exciting evening for you.
Oh, yes. You know, it's just good to get the past behind me and finally be taken seriously as an actor. Can I give a shout out?
Oh, my God, it's chicken!
The reporter turns away from Jaleel White and follows others in a rush to a man carrying a chicken in a tux.
Well, it looks like all of Hollywood has turned on for this one, but the question is, where is Marty Wolf?
A bedraggled Wolf exits a bus, glaring at two people who wait to get on.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Jason's on a bench outside the premiere.
Hey there, Marty.
Back!
Ready to end this?
Oh, kid. You have no idea who you are dealing with. You think I care about a couple of little pranks? Nah. See you around, Shep.
Wolf salutes with a toothy grin. As he swaggers toward the event, Jason dials a call. Lounging on the Back to the Future time machine in the hideout, Kaylee answers her cell.
Hello?
This is J-Dog calling K-Bird. Repeat, J-Dog calling K-Bird.
Jace, is that you?
Yeah, I'm using codenames. Wolf didn't throw in the towel. We're moving into phase three.
What's phase three?
We're going to our first Hollywood soiree.
Phase three, the twist. A party at Wolf's mansion.
I don't know what to expect, but all of a sudden it's like, bam! Bad movie!
They say boring.
Like, for example, when you did Saved by the Bell, right. Quality, okay? I mean, you know, substance.
Worst film in the world.
Wolf saunters through his party in a red suit and a black beret.
Whoa! There he is. El Presidente, and his wife, the very lovely Shaniqua.
It's Chandra.
Great to see you. Well, I mean, I think they loved it, don't you?
I think that sad excuse for a movie just lost the studio $30 million. I'm pulling the plug on Big Fat Liar.
What?
It's over, Wolf.
Look, just hear me out. The truth is, would you excuse us, please, Shanana? The truth is, I missed those meetings because I had an incredible breakthrough on BFL, which I was working on all day, and I wanted to wait until we were in front of the entire industry to make my presentation.
Duncan looks over at Monty, who frowns, then faces Wolf again.
One chance, Wolf. That's all I'm giving you.
And that's all I need. Strap on your seatbelt, Dr. Duncan Stein, because you are about to be blown away. Marty!
Sorry. Marty?
He shoves her into a kitchen.
What's going on? What is this big presentation you're giving about the movie?
I have no idea! None! None!
I can help you.
Kaylee follows Jason in.
Why do you keep showing up in my life?
Sounds like you need to come up with some big idea for Big Fat Liar, right?
What? Some 10-year-old kid is gonna tell me how to fix my entire movie.
First of all, I'm 14. Second of all, I created this story. You think I can at least come up with a few good twists?
No, you mean that this kid really did write Big Fat Liar?
Oh, he wrote a little English paper with the same title. Big deal.
Don't do it, Jason.
Kid, I swear to you, you get me out of this mess, and I'll tell your dad. You wrote Big Fat Liar, Aaron Brockovich, and Saving Private Ryan, too.
Wolf's inches from Jason's face, smiling with his hands clasped. Jason looks at Monty, who watches gravely. Jason smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, I could have your attention for just a moment, please. You're all probably wondering why I'm blue and orange. No, just go with me for a second. You see, Big Fat Liar, BFL, Biffle, as it's come to be known, is full of action, romance, effects, oh, you bet. But what it lacks right now is a message.
Trooper's girlfriend makes this new potion, which is supposed to make him shrink, but instead causes him to change color.
Jason feeds him the story through his earpiece.
Because now, the twist is, he can't even lie about his feelings anymore.
You see, his girlfriend, Penny, she makes Trooper an antidote, which instead of curing him, causes him to change colors.
When he's bummed out about stuff, he turns blue.
When he's depressed, he turns blue.
When he's mad, his hair turns red.
When he's angry, BOOM! His curly locks turn the color of a flaming brush fire. But when he discovers the ultimate truth, that he's in love with Penny, the softest shade of pink finds its way across his visage.
I didn't tell him to say that. Wolf, what are you doing? You're not listening to me. Just stick to the plan.
Wolf yanks the earpiece out.
I'm sorry. The emotions in this movie are just so painful.
His eyes cross.
They're painful because they hit home right here. In the old Corazon, who among us hasn't told a little white lie?
I have.
Anybody else? You?
Guilty.
You? It's all right. Don't be ashamed, brother, because I am right there with you. I am right there with you.
You're right, man. You are right.
Because our picture looks the audience right in the eye and says, enough is enough. Lying has got to stop. The truth and the truth alone shall set ye free. Friends, God bless all of you. God bless America. And God bless Big Fat Liar.
Duncan applauds briefly and saunters over to Wolf with a faint smile.
Very impressive, Marty.
Now, does this mean that you will approve the budget?
You start shooting tomorrow.
That's great.
But if anything, and I mean anything goes wrong, your movie, your deal at the studio, and your career will be over, you hear me?
Later, Marty joins Monty and the kids in his kitchen.
Hey-o! Shepard, you are a genius, buddy. Dish. Huh?
You ready to make that phone call?
Time to let my fingers do the walking.
Here's my dad's phone number.
All right. Daddy.
Wolf dials a number as Kaylee and Jason watch hopefully. The producer faces the boy with a faint smirk.
Hello, this is Marty Wolf. I am standing here in my kitchen with Jason Shepard. I'm looking at him as we speak. And you better bring backup.
What are you doing? I thought you were on the phone with my dad.
Oh, I was on the phone, all right, but it ain't with your old man.
You're a real piece of work, Shepard.
Who are you?
Rocco Malone, head of security for Marty Wolf Pictures.
Thanks for all your help, kid. Really. Saving my butt twice in 1 year. Who would have thunk it?
Let's go, kid. Come on, you too, Punky Bruce.
You can't do this. We have a witness.
Hey, first lesson in Hollywood, sweetheart. Always get it in writing.
Rocco and a guard remove the kids.
What a day.
Smiling, Wolf leaves the room. Monty stares after him with her jaw hanging slack, then blinks and shifts her unhappy gaze.
Here's the deal.
In Wolf's office.
The two of you are gonna get on a plane, go back home, and forget this ever happened. Clear?
Jason and Kaylee look at one another sadly, then Rocco.
Good. Let's go get you two guys packed up, huh?
Later.
Can't believe we're just gonna give up. You're Jason Shepard. You can get out of anything.
In their hideout, he packs.
Come on, You must have a phase four up your sleeve.
Jason pauses and looks off grimly.
Yeah. I guess I do.
Jason picks up his cell phone and starts to dial as he steps away. Gazing after him, Kaylee stands.
Hello?
Dad, it's Jason.
Hey.
I haven't been totally honest about what I've been up to the last couple days. And, I think it's time I told you the truth.
Kaylee smiles proudly at him.
The truth.
Monty arrives and approaches a dozing Rocco.
Hey, Rocco. Hey.
Hey.
Why don't you head home? I'll take the kids to the airport.
You sure?
Yeah. I was gonna be up all night rewriting Wolf's script anyway, so it's no problem.
All right, then. I'm getting too old for this babysitting anyway. You take it easy.
Good night.
Good night.
He leaves.
You know what the worst part of this whole thing is? Wolf is just going to keep getting away with it. You know, he treats all these people like dirt and no one has the guts to stand up to him.
Forget it, Kaylee.
I can't forget it. It just makes me sick that your parents are never going to know that you wrote that story.
What are we supposed to do? My parents are going to be here in the morning. We tried everything. It would take an army to get Wolf to admit the truth.
I think I know where we could find our troops.
Monty greets the kids with a warm smile.
What are you doing here?
I've been pushed around by Wolf for too long. Tomorrow, his whole career is on the line. So you guys up for one last fight?
Jace?
It's payback time.
At home, Wolf considers two shirts as his monkey sits nearby.
Got to look good for the first day of shooting. Do you copy that, Mr. Funny Bones? That's a Big Ten Four, Marty.
He tosses the shirts.
Woo! I brought you all here tonight for two reasons.
A meeting.
A, you're all the best in your given field. And B, you all despise this man. A lot. Gang, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Jason freezes when he sees the tall guard arrive. The guard salutes. Jason smiles and nods.
Let's begin. Your assignments. Red team, you guys stall him until my parents get to the set.
Wolf tries on different looks.
One more. That's it.
Blue team, I need your help in the distract and delay tactics. Gold team, you guys are responsible for the mental warfare.
In order to get what we need, we are talking complete physical and psycho-emotional breakdown, people. I want to see a broken man. I'm talking broken, like, ooh, I just threw a baseball through your window broken. Snap him like a twig. Squeeze him like a bug. I want you to turn him into mincemeat. And I don't even know what mincemeat is. I want him to scream for his mommy. Wah, wah, mommy, mommy, mommy. Do you hear me, people? Do you read me? Because I don't think you read me.
I think they read you.
Fair enough.
Guys, I just got one thing to say.
The screen splits to show Jason and Wolf.
It's showtime.
Phase 4, the payback. Frank checks his watch and knocks. Wolf emerges back to normal.
Want to stay here?
Yes, sir.
Don't I know you?
Yeah, you do. I'm Frank Jackson. I was your driver last year until you fired me.
Fabulous! Oh! Boy, the acting career must really be taking off. Bravo, Brando. Let's get moving. I don't want to be late.
Yeah.
Mommy, it's me.
Oh, hey, Marty. Did you get some rest for the big day?
Are you kidding me? I spent half the night with a scrub brush and a can of turpentine. Bye-bye, little boy blue. I am back. Hey, pedal to the metal, Ricky Ritardo. Got a movie to shoot.
I'm sorry, sir. There seems to be something wrong with the car.
On a winding road in the hills, Frank's smoking limo pulls to a stop.
Fix it.
Oh, hot smoke. Very hot smoke. Oh. Whew.
What the hell is happening here?
Stay right there.
What?
No, Mr. Wolf, don't come up here. We have a situation. The carbid lateral valve is connected to the defibrillator, and it's just acting up, and the point is, this thing could blow any second, so you might want to back up. Back up. Back up.
Okay, what are you saying?
The engine's fried. I need to call in for a backup car.
Are you kidding me? My movie starts shooting in an hour!
Mr. Wolf, please, I would very much appreciate it if you didn't yell at me, okay?
Pleading, Frank grabs Wolf's lapels.
Don't touch, dude!
Wolf backs away, but Frank pulls him into a hug. Jaleel White pulls up.
Hey! Everything okay here?
Urkel. Jaleel. Oh, my God, my man. This is incredible. You gotta get me out of here, buddy.
Hop in.
No! No! Mr. Wolf, please, no. Please,
locked.
Mr. Wolf, no.
Look, my pins are cracked.
Let us get me.
Did you unlock?
No, please. No, Mr. Wolf, please.
Drive.
I'm begging.
Sayonara, loser.
Wolf rides away in Jaleel's convertible. Frank gives a few dramatic sobs, then uses a walkie-talkie.
F-Man to J-Dog. F-Man to J-Dog. The baton has been passed.
Roger that, F-Man. Well done.
The kids sit in a control center.
Who's the bad actor now, Mr. Wolf? Those are real tears.
K-Bird, the baton has been passed.
Got it.
A screen in their newly modified hideout shows Frank's headshot. A stamp appears, completed, in Jaleel's car.
Nice car!
TV money, baby. Huh? I didn't wear those glasses and spend all those years for free, dog.
That's a relief. Do you, you know where you're going?
I'm taking a shortcut. Hey, look, just throw your seat back and relax, Wolf, man. You on Jaleel's ass now.
Okay. Woo! Oh, Fishman! You're gonna
In the control center, Jason tracks Wolf on a monitor. Jaleel speeds him down a desert road.
Yeah, baby! Where in the hell are you taking me?
I told you. I know a shortcut.
Through the desert? Slow down, you maniac. I'm getting up.
It's your call, bitch.
I'm going to do it.
Do what you got to do.
I'm getting up, pal.
Go!
Wolf opens the door and jumps out, rolling in the dirt to a stop.
Come here. Yo, Jaleel at the wheel.
Condor has flown. Roger that, J-Doe. Wait, what does that mean?
It means I'm leaving Wolf in the middle of the desert. Urkel is out!
Jaleel tears away down a lonely strip of road through the desert. In the control room, Jason nods to Kaylee. The display shows an illustration of a cactus. In the desert, Wolf struggles to his feet and looks around. He turns on the spot, taking in his desolate surroundings. Wolf stomps across the dusty shoulder and takes his cell phone out. He plops down on a shallow dune and makes a call. On a film set, Monty answers.
Hello?
Ah, Monty. It's me.
Oh, hey, Marty. Is everything okay?
No. Everything is fine. Except, I'm stuck in the middle of the desert! Do you hear what I am saying to you?
The what?
The desert! You gotta get me out of here.
How?
I don't care how, Monty! Just do it!
He ends the call. At the set, Monty smiles, lowers her phone, and looks over her shoulder.
Ready to go wolf hunting?
On the highway, Wolf angrily kicks sand as he walks into the middle of the road and checks his watch. A helicopter approaches behind him. It swoops low over the asphalt. Frowning, Wolf slowly turns around toward the noise. As he faces the oncoming helicopter, his eyes narrow to two slits. The military green chopper sets down on the road, sending a dusty wind flying at Wolf's face. Vince gets out wearing a helmet and headset and trots over to Wolf.
I borrowed the chopper from the chute. You're in good hands, Wolf. I flew 49 combat missions in Vietnam.
All right, save me the sob story, Methuselah! I already sent Group Platoon! Just get me to the set!
He steers Wolf towards the passenger door and shuts him in. Vince laughs and moves around to his door.
Right here! Right there!
As Vince climbs in, Wolf irritably puts on a headset. Right
there. This is Father Time. You're headed your way.
Roger that, FT.
Jason marks a diagram and turns.
You're airborne.
Copy that!
Let's punch a hole in the sky, Grandpa! Go, go, go!
At the airport, airport, Jason's parents spot Frank, who holds a sign with their last name.
Brando to base. Brando to base. The sheep has located the shepherds, and we're coming home.
Yes. In the control room, Jason updates the display, which now features a helicopter. The chopper flies over Los Angeles. On board, Wolf checks his watch. A light reading, emergency, blinks.
Oh, boy. What's that? What's happening?
The chopper swings.
One of our blades is jammed. We're going to have to do a forced evac. What are you talking about? Come on, we got to jump. This bird is going down.
Wolf looks at the flashing light again. Vince dons a parachute.
Vince! Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, I wish I was. We're gonna have to hold on tight. We've only got one chute. I hope it supports us both.
Wait a minute! This is insanity! Vince, have you done this before?
Oh, don't worry, Wolf. I'm a professional. Granddad's been doing this a long, long time.
They take a tandem jump out of the chopper. On board, a man emerges from hiding and takes the controls.
This is Chopper One to control. Papa Bear and the Wolf have left the building.
Kaylee spins around and smiles at Jason, who updates the display with an illustration of a parachute. Duncan, in shades and a tailored suit, pulls onto the set in a golf cart and gets out. As he whips off his sunglasses, Monty hurries over to greet him.
Hello, sir.
Where's Wolf?
Late. Bad.
On a busy street, Vince and Wolf carry the chute between them toward the lot. Vince coolly eyes Wolf, who stares through bulging eyes with his hair standing on end. On set, Monty sits comfortably with stylish sunglasses on, daintily munching on a cheese cracker.
Hello.
I'm on the lot, Monty! I'll be there in a minute!
Marty?
I'm not lying. Just stall Duncan another second, okay? I'm coming.
Hey, Wolf.
How's it hanging, Shepard?
Crossing an Old West set, Wolf sees Jason standing in the road and drops his cell phone. Jason and Wolf stand off in the dusty street. Jason reveals he's holding Mr. Funnybones and smiles goadingly. Wolf cocks an eyebrow. So does Jason. Wolf points dramatically.
Give me back my monkey.
Come and get him.
Jason runs. Wolf checks his watch, then sighs and pursues him. Jason turns a corner where Kaylee waits in a golf cart. As they ride off, Wolf spies another cart attended by two bystanders.
You two, goodbye!
He flings them back and gets in.
I'm coming, buddy, Mom!
On the set of a martial arts film, two acrobatic actors fight in an archway with batons. Jason and Kaylee fly through in their cart, followed by Wolf. They turn onto a wintry Christmas theme set. Kaylee drives calmly while Wolf hunches over his steering wheel, baring his teeth like an animal. Jason's eyes widen.
Look out!
The kids crash into a cluster of Christmas trees.
Come on!
Jason and Kaylee abandon their cart.
Right behind you, Shepard!
They duck through a fake building's front door, Wolf chasing after them on foot. They emerge on a set depicting a Latin American village and keep running. Wolf sprints after them as the chase continues over a footbridge. Jason and Wolf pause to face each other.
You can't outrun the Wolf, kid!
Yeah, we'll see about that.
The chase continues.
Hang on, Funny Bones, Daddy's coming!
He's all yours, Lester.
Lester uses a laptop and headset.
Activate water.
Water floods down the channel into the road, knocking Wolf over and carrying him away.
Who's the decoy now, you spaz?
The water pins Wolf against a cart. Grinning, Lester pumps his fist and leaves. On set, Duncan checks his watch.
This is it, Monty. If he's not here in 60 seconds, this movie's over.
Right up there is where the big stunt is taking place.
Frank and the Shepherds arrive.
This way.
Elsewhere on the lot, Jason and Kaylee peel off in two different directions. Wolf stays on Jason's trail. Jason runs into a building, its interior hollow except for wooden framing, and dashes up some stairs. He puppets the monkey.
Help! Come and rescue me, Marty!
Wolf ascends, gaining on the boy.
Reach the film now!
As they emerge on the roof, white doves fly away in slow motion. Wolf lunges at Jason's feet. The monkey launches into the air as they both fall. Wolf looks up, eyes bulging. Jason watches the monkey with a furrowed brow. It descends in slow motion. The monkey falls between them. They scramble to their feet and dive for it, each grabbing a monkey arm. They stare at one another.
Let go of the monkey.
Call my dad.
Never.
Yes.
No!
Wolf seizes the monkey and stands.
That's it, kid. It's over. You lose, and I win.
I don't think so, Wolf.
Oh, you don't think so, huh? Come on, Jason. You're smarter than that. You write a story, I steal it, and now I'm about to start shooting the greatest movie of my career.
So, you admit you stole my story?
We've been over this. It's ancient history. Yeah, I stole your story. Whoop-dee-doodle-doo. You happy now? I stole Jason Shepherd's paper and turned it into a big fat liar. You know who's listening, pal? No one. And they never will. So, for the last time, give it up. Because I will never, ever, ever, like never, ever, 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 infinity, tell the truth.
Because the truth's overrated, right?
That's right!
And cut!
Wolf turns to find a camera team hidden behind them. Scattered all around them are more camera crews waving cheerfully. Jason smiles. Wolf spins sharply. Descending in a chair attached to a hydraulic arm, Dusty holds a megaphone with a cool, triumphant smile.
I told you, Wolf. The only way to shoot this scene is from 12 different camera angles with birds flying around. Oh, and, by the by, Confucius say, Kastang, you're busted.
Wolf runs away.
Rock and roll, baby.
Clutching his stuffed monkey, Wolf looks over the edge of the roof. Duncan, reporters, and all the crew stand looking up at him.
It's just like you wanted, Wolf. The press is all here.
Standing near Monty, Kaylee and Jason's parents, Jocelyn defiantly bites into a yellow cream-filled snack cake and smiles. Kaylee and Jason's parents stare up at Wolf, the tall security guard behind them. The guard, Lester, Frank, and Monty grin up at Wolf, some waving. Kaylee smiles. Duncan stands with his hands on his hips.
You stole the idea for this movie from a 13-year-old boy?
He's 14.
This is the end of the line, Wolf. It's over.
Duncan walks away. Wolf's gaze roves menacingly towards Jason on the roof behind him. Seething, he jumps down to face the boy.
Wolf, I want to say thanks. You taught me a valuable lesson. The truth, it's not overrated.
I am gonna get you, Shepherd!
Fleeing, Jason takes a running leap off the high roof. Wolf stops short and stares. Jason plummets in slow motion as his parents watch fearfully. He lands on the inflated landing pad set up on the ground below. Vince helps him off. Jason's parents and the others swarm toward the boy. His father takes him by the shoulders, smiling affectionately.
You did all this just to prove you weren't lying?
I wanted to earn your trust back, Dad.
You've earned it, buddy. You've earned it.
Jason's dad hugs and kisses Jason. His mother tousles his short hair. Jason's dad breaks from the hug and puts his arms around both of them.
Hey! We got a movie this year, right? Come on, let's make some magic.
The human hit factory is ready to roll.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, where do you think you're going? You cannot turn your backs on me! I'm Marty Wolf! All right, fine, fine! You're all fired!
You suck, Marty!
Now, a movie theater screen shows people making their way through a devastated city, staring up at a gigantic Frank. A packed audience watches. Frank stands in the middle of a ravaged city street and drinks a potion. The formally dressed audience watches attentively. On screen, Frank blinks, then slowly shrinks. A lovely woman looks on. Back to a normal size, he approaches her.
You, certainly know how to make an entrance.
Well, what can I say? I got big feet. You were right, Penny. The truth, it's not overrated.
Frank and the woman kiss and embrace warmly. The screen fades to black and the audience claps approvingly. Grandma Pearl sits with Kaylee, who also sits with Jason, Monty, and Duncan. Jason grins proudly as he claps. The credits read, written and produced by Monty Kirkham. On the other side of Grandma Pearl, Brett hugs the old woman. Another credit appears, starring Frank Jackson as Kenny Trooper. Being based on the story Big Fat Liar by Jason Shepherd, Miss Caldwell shrieks and points, then composes herself. Jason's dad leans over his shoulder.
Congratulations, it was incredible.
Kaylee notices with a smile. Jason's mom pats his shoulder affectionately. Jason turns to Kaylee, and they share a warm look. As they look back up at the screen, Jason beams proudly and nods. Now, Wolf shows up at a home dressed as a party clown.
It's showtime.
He wears blue makeup and an orange wig. His stuffed monkey is dressed to match.
Hey, kids. I'm Wolfie the Clown. Ooh. And, I'm Mr. Funny Bones. Happy birthday, Darren.
His dad's the Masher.
Oh, my God!
Oh, no.
You little mash. Show me a nutcracker.
Ah! Darren charges at Wolf with a flying groin-height kick. Wolf grimaces painfully. Cut to black. Titles appear, directed by Sean Levy. Screenplay by Dan Schneider. Story by Dan Schneider and Brian Robbins. Produced by Mike Tolan, Brian Robbins. Executive producer, Michael Goldman. Director of photography, Jonathan Brown. Production designer, Nina Ruscio. Edited by Stuart Pape, Kimberly Ray. Co-producer, Marie Canton. Frankie Muniz. Paul Giamatti. Amanda Bynes. Amanda Detmer. Donald Faison. Sandra Oh. Russell Hornsby, Michael Brian French, Christine Tucci. And Lee Majors. Casting by Michelle Morris Gertz, CSA. Music by Christoph Beck. Music supervisors Gary Jones, Dave Jordan. Costume designer Sonia Milkovic Hayes. A Tolan Robbins production. Credits roll.
We thought we'd bring it to ya. Bahama and keep it grooving.
Shake.
American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. Copyright 2002 Media Streams White Film GmbH & Co. Productions KG. All rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 1997, Universal Studios. Animated E.T. 20th Anniversary logo, copyright 2001, Universal Studios. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. A title, Big Fat Liar. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal. Voice by Darren Revitz.